Thank you. Whew. Wow, I love testimonies. Don't you love testimonies? Even the first night when Frank shared a few that were just stirring in his heart, it is proclaiming what God's done, which then proclaims, God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it again. Do more of that, Lord. More of that. And so I'm excited to wrap tonight up, wrap this week up. And it's been an incredible week. So many good takeaways, so many just truth bombs. And so I just want to say tonight, in conclusion, let's go to concessions. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna share. I know. I just had to do that. I want to talk to you tonight about a mindset on the Spirit. A mindset on the Spirit. If we're going to have the kingdom come in us first and around us, we have to have our mindset on the Spirit. So where's your mindset? Even this week, right now, even what's been your mindset? What is it set on? When you have your mind set on something, you are dwelling on it. You are thinking about it. You're chewing on it. What you put in here really matters. And of course, we've had a full week, so you've got a lot of input that's healthy, right? This is good. But when we go home, we have to choose to every day have our mind set on something. And our tagline for this conference or this camp week has been cultivating that kingdom generosity, that kingdom heart, rather. How do you cultivate that in your life? And how do you create a culture of kingdom? I define culture this way. Culture is the soup, S-O-U-P, the soup you're swimming in. What's the soup your life is swimming in? What's the soup your mind is swimming in? What are the ingredients that you're putting in that are helping your mind be set on the right things, the kingdom things? And so it's important to have, with every good soup, you got to have the right ingredients to get a good soup. And so fall is coming, right? Nothing better than soup in the fall, am I right? Something about soup. And when you get a good soup and you know it's a good soup, you invite your neighbors over to share the soup. No different here. We're kingdom people. And when we have a kingdom culture in our life, who you're around, you want to share the soup. You want to share it. You're sharing it, but it would be really good to share the healthy, good soup. All right? And so I want to give you tonight some mindsets to cultivate, but I want to start with these two quotes from N.T. Wright and Dallas Willard about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is what the world looks like when Jesus is king. A world healed, restored, and made new. The kingdom of God, as Dallas Willard says, is the range of God's effective will where what he wants done is done. Just leave those on the screen for a second. And so, Lord, we pray that. We pray even this last night, Lord, would you, Lord, we've taken and heard so much truth, and we've gotten so many ingredients that can go in the soup, the culture of our lives, that we get to take home. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us even this evening of those ingredients that you're really emphasizing for us, that your Spirit is leading for us to make sure are in the soup, and that we ruminate, we chew on it, we think about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at this passage from Romans 8, 5 to 6. I'm going to be in Romans 8, 5 to 6, and then primarily in Acts 16. So if you have your Bibles, that's where I'm going to be primarily. And so first here, Romans 8, 5 to 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Look at verse 6. The mind governed or ruled or influenced majorly by the flesh is death or leads to death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, the mind governed by this flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And I just am praying that we would walk away this week and go, God, I'm going to have my mind set on your Spirit. And that we know this, we've heard this, we've read this, right? But we need to repeat it. We need to get it in us. We need to remember that every thought that comes in is an opportunity to have our mind set on the flesh or set on the Spirit. Right? And so when your mind is set, when it says set your mind on or mind set, it means your mind dwelling, your mind hanging out, your mind focusing on these things. Is it focused on the flesh or is it focused on the Spirit? And when our mind is set on the flesh, it says it's going to lead us down a path towards death. And when our mind is set on the Spirit, it's going to lead us down a path to life and peace. And I know everybody in this room's like, I want a life, I want to lead to death. No, you don't. We want a life and peace, right? And so, but I think what happens is we don't reflect on where our mind is set. We don't take those thoughts captive. We forget so quickly because so many inputs are coming in, and we slowly slide towards a mind that gets set on the flesh and not the Spirit. And so kingdom-minded people, we're thinking about things that are kingdom-minded. That's genius right there. And so if you're thinking more, if you're like, man, I think I've been thinking more about the flesh, how do you know? Well, you're going to start losing hope. You're going to start heading down a path where you're like, my faith is draining out. I feel like my soul is dry. But when our mind is set on the Spirit, it's the opposite. And I was thinking about, you know, what are you feeding on? What am I feeding on? Man, I think about this all the time. And it's just so easy to snack on the flesh. Like, well, I'm not feeding on it, Kevin. I'm just kind of nibbling. I'm just kind of got like, you know, it's just a couple of licorice sticks, not all of them, right? Not the whole bag. And the thing is, we start snacking, and then that builds an appetite, and all of a sudden, you can't get enough of those carbs, those sugar, those fleshly things. And man, it heads you down a path. And so I just want to encourage us. We've got so much this week, but that mind that's set on the Spirit, we're going to start walking in God's adventure in even a greater measure. We're going to start seeing even more breakthrough. We're going to start seeing even more hope arise in our lives. This last week, I went to a Steve Backlund. He's a guy out of Bethel. Anybody know who Steve Backlund is? Yeah. A few people? I really like his stuff. But he said it was a conference in our community, and he was talking about your current, what are you feeling and experiencing in an area of your life? And where hope is draining out, where there is no hope, it's evidence that you're believing lies. Where there's no hope, you're believing lies, which could potentially be a stronghold in your life. But he said, so you know what the truth is. If you find the word, and what's the scripture say? This is the truth. And where you're lacking hope, say, God, what are the lies I'm believing? And when we repent, when we confess I've been believing this lie, Lord. Maybe you're like, I struggle to get my mind set on the Spirit, Kevin. Well, confess that. Confess the sin or the lie that you're believing. And as what you're doing is, that Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's saying the gap between the truth and the lie, this gap requires faith to journey, but your repentance is what gets you to the truth. Repentance is I'm repenting towards the truth. I'm not living here. This might be my current now experience, how I feel, what's actually happening. But the truth is here, and I'm repenting towards this truth. It takes some time. And I think it requires us clearly to have our mind set on the Spirit. Agreed? Okay. So let's look at this passage in Acts 16, but let me give you a little context. Acts 13 to 16, remember that the leaders in Antioch had sent Paul and Barnabas in chapter 13 of Acts. They met, they were fasting and praying, and the Lord said, hey, send out Paul and Barnabas. So they go on their first missionary journey, and they had this missional mandate, go preach the gospel, make disciples to the Gentiles. They return, and they have an amazing trip, amazing first journey. They come back, give a great report. They were, you know, lots of incredible fruit, churches planted, people saved, impacted. They take about a year to regroup before they send out on the second missionary journey. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and also Luke goes along with them. Timothy was about 15 years old. He was the apprentice and eventually would be the pastor of the church in Ephesus at about 30 years old. But remember, Luke is also with them. He's the one that's journaling this journey. And so if we fast forward to Acts 16, 6 through 9, that's where we're going to start. And I want to give you one of my six mindsets that are kingdom. You might go, six, can he do it? Yes, he can. A kingdom mindset, first of all, embraces chronos and kairos moments. Kairos time. Chronos and kairos. Let's look at verse 16, rather 6 through 9 of chapter 16. Now, when they had gone through of Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they're on their journey. They've got a plan. They're going. And verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so they had an intentional plan. They had laid it out. They had been on a journey before. They had a chronos plan, right? You know, they said, we know they prayed. God, what's the plan? They get the download. They've got it. I believe their mind was set on the Spirit, and they created a plan. But we see multiple times the Spirit, verse 7, the Spirit did not permit them. The Spirit did not permit them. The Spirit did not permit them. So they have a prayerful, intentional plan, yet that plan gets redirected, gets rerouted. Write down the word rerouting. Or that, I don't know if that's one word or two words. Right before I came over here in prayer, I felt like one of the takeaways for tonight is that God wants to reroute some of you. You know when you put into your phone, here's your destination, and you pick from the three paths, and usually you typically would go with the shortest amount of time path, you know, and then you hit go. And then it goes, and then you're following the blue line. But if you go off the path of the blue line, at least on the Apple version, or Google Maps, whatever you're using, and you get off track, it starts to do the little spin thing as rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. Tonight, God wants to reroute some of you. You may not be far off the path, but he's like, as you get your mind set on the Spirit, just like Paul and Silas and Timothy here, there's going to be moments where he's going to like, you had a plan, but I'm going to reroute you. So, doors, open doors aren't the only thing to pay attention to, right? Closed doors also help us lean in. When a door closes, lean in and go, God, what are you up to? Rather than getting upset that your chronos plan isn't working, go, God, get curious. God, what are you up to? What are you doing here? Have an open hand with your chronos plan, right? Trust that he's going to give you these divine interruptions, these moments of, oh, right. So I just think one of the things that's so important about a kingdom mindset is to have a plan, but also recognize God has the ability to interrupt your plan, and he most likely will. Live in the tension of that. And some of you personalities are like, I love it. I'm a Kairos person. I don't even have any Chronos in my life. Get a little Chronos then. Get a little chronological plan, you know. Plan ahead, keep an open hand, but if you're like a total chronos person, you're like, I have to stick to my plan. I do not divert from my plan. Get a little kairos in your life. Okay, just just know, you got a kingdom people have to be willing to go both, to have both and live in the tension of this all the time. So while you're in motion, while you're in the Chronos plan path, these Kairos moments will get revealed. And that's what we see here. Would they have had the redirection if they hadn't been on the path? I don't think so. So then, verse 10, it says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I just, leave that up on the screen. I just want you to see that their mission was to preach the gospel. That was the plan. Get the gospel. We have a plan where we're going to go. God keeps nudging them. Door closed, door closed. They're waiting. They get the vision. Paul gets the vision. And they're like, that's what the Lord wants us to do. We're going to go preach to them. I love it. So it says, verse 10, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. So there's a spirit-led pivot, an SLP, I like to call them. A spirit-led pivot right in that moment, because they were like, we want to do what's God's right thing at the right time. That's what we want. God, what are you up to? Spirit, what are you doing in this situation, in this moment? That's what we want. And I tell you, when your mind is set on the Spirit, you and I will pivot quite often. And the Spirit will nudge us. And it's just important to embrace that tension and just say, God, we trust you. I trust you, Lord. A little nugget that may not be that important, but it might be. I want to point out to you that in verse 6 through 9, all the pronouns are they. They. But in verse 10, the pronoun shifts to we. You might go, why is that important? Well, I think what's interesting is Luke is the one that's reporting on what's happening with Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Up to this point, it's they were doing this, they were doing this, they were doing this. And in verse 10, he says, we. So I have to think, this is Kevin's version here, okay? But my observation is, he was recognizing their ability to not only have a Chronos plan, but a Kairos plan, and he's like, this is amazing. I want in on this. I'm not just watching and observing. I'm on the team. I'm in to share the gospel. We are doing this together. And I think it's important to believe it's we. Not they. Us. We are keeping our minds set on the Spirit. And we are getting the gospel out there. Kingdom, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? Now, just this last week, Monday, I was had a full day. Mondays are usually pretty full, staff meetings and things like that. And someone had called in the office and left a message for me. And I didn't recognize the name, honestly. And I was like, So I texted this person. I said, hey, I've got meetings till 4:30. I'll call you then. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, that works great. That's fine. I said, okay. So 4:30, I call him. His name is Kevin as well, so that was easy to remember. And I said, hey, Kevin, what's going on? He's like, and he just downloads this heavy stuff. He's like, my marriage is tanking. I think it's done. I don't know what to do. I've got two kids. I'm pretty distraught. And he goes, I'm thinking about flying to Vegas. I'm like, you're thinking about flying to Vegas? Wow. And so I'm just listening. I'm driving home from my other meeting, and I'm about 3 blocks from home. And then I hear this like loudspeaker in the background, and I'm like, Kevin, where are you? He's like, I'm at the airport. I'm like, you're at the airport? Like, the Lewiston airport, the metropolis of Lewiston, you're at the airport. It's not hard to find him. And anyway, just point is, there's only one. Anyway, I'm like, so you're at the airport. I go, are you, like, talking about tonight? You're thinking about flying? He's like, the flight's at 5:30. I'm like, the flight to Vegas is at 5:30. You're thinking about getting on that flight and going. He's like, yeah. I'm like, have you already bought your ticket? I haven't bought my ticket yet. I said, I'll be right up. Yeah. So I go, if I come up there, will you get in the car and ride with me for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. What do you have? He goes, I could probably do 10, 15. I said, okay. So I get up there. He gets in the car. He downloads. He's like, I know this isn't a good option, but I'm just hopeless. I've tried, and he went on, told me everything. I just listened for about 10 minutes. And I said, let's do some listening prayer. Do you know what listening prayer is? He's like, yeah. He goes, no, I don't, but I explained it to him. He's like, okay, I'm willing. So we're driving around near the airport. I said, I'll get you back in time. I said, but let's see what Jesus wants to say to you about this. So we just drove around, and he got calm, and he got quiet, and just listened, and I'm just praying, like, Lord, you know what's going on in this man's heart. You need to please do what only you can do. So a lot of silence for about 5 minutes, and I said, what are you thinking? I said, do you feel like God said anything to you? He's like, I know I'm not supposed to go. He goes, I know it's wrong. And he goes, I know I'm running. And I know it's based in my history, my trauma, he just downloaded all this. And I said, all right. I said, I'm going to take you back. I said, do you know what a next step will be? And we talked about it a little bit. And so, been following up with him. It's pretty fresh, right? But it's like, he did text me, and he said, we've got some counseling set up individually as well as together. And anyway, he goes, we might be coming to church. I said, be amazing. That'd be great. Anyway, so what's my point? I was on a Kronos plan. I'd had a big day. I was ready to go home. I was ready to be done. This wasn't a scheduled appointment. And even the phone call, you know, sometimes is enough. But I felt like in that moment, the Holy Spirit's like, you get up there to the airport, Kevin, and ask him to get in your car. And so those, you've had them, I've had them. This is important, that we embrace the Kairos moments and navigate the tension of these things all the time, y'all. So verse 13 to 14, let's keep going. It says, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city. So they follow this call to go, this Macedonian call, and they get to Philippi. And and look what happens here. It says, on the Sabbath day, we, all four of them, went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And so Lydia here, she's a God-fearer, and that would be the term, like she worshiped God, or some translations say she was a God-fearer, meaning that she was a Gentile who believed in the God of Israel, attended some of the Jewish gatherings, but didn't convert to Judaism. Now, the city, there was no synagogue in Philippi because there wasn't, you have to have 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. That's the minimum. And so there was no synagogue, but the women were praying, and she was spending time with the Jewish women that were there. And Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke, they go down, and they're hanging out, and the gospel gets shared, and God moves on her heart, and she's a believer. And so I love this. This is so powerful. And I think it's so easy to be so focused here and not see how the dots start connecting. When we have a mind that's set on the Spirit and we're embracing the Kairos and the Kronos times, and we're just walking in obedience to what God says to do every day. I don't know about this Kevin that I connected this with week. I'm not quite sure what God's doing in his life, but I of course know it's way bigger than I know. And I'm sure I'm one of many people that God has brought across his path to help him get in a healthy place with the Lord in his family. And so first kingdom mindset, embrace the Kairos and Kronos time. Second mindset, a kingdom mindset, extends generous hospitality. Let's look at what happens with Lydia. Verse 15 says, and when she, Lydia, and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. I just want to say I've never had anybody beg me to stay over with them. I love that. I'm thinking that's like a new level of hospitality. Please, please, please. They're usually like, do you really need a place? No, are you sure you do? Are you sure you're going to be in town? No, it's not quite like that. But I love that Lydia But look, don't miss what happened here in verse 15 when she and her household were baptized. So, first conversion, then the household's converted and baptized. There's some momentum. And then what comes out of her is she's like, please stay with us. Stay with us. And most scholars think she was a businesswoman. We know that clearly from here, that she was probably fairly well-to-do, probably had a home big enough to house all them. But that doesn't mean she has to do it. But I just want to say a kingdom mindset extends generous hospitality. I think one of the most powerful things any of us could do is invite somebody over for a meal and listen. So many lonely people. Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And I think that word practice is really good. Because you might go, my house isn't big enough. I'm not that good of a cook. You can have all kinds of excuses, but I just want to encourage you, just be a practicer. Just get in training, you know? And if you've got to have somebody else bring the food, order it out, whatever you got to do, just, it's not about that. It's about the connection. And I like what N.T. Wright says about Lydia. He says, Lydia stands at the head of a long line of women who played a critical role in the early Jesus movement. She was the first Christian convert on European soil, and her home became the first base of operations for the church in Philippi. She was the beachhead home. I mean, just think about what happens by this shift, they embraced the closed doors and then waited, and the open door happens, and they got their mindset on the Spirit, and they're going where the Spirit says to go, and boom, Lydia, then her household. Now we're going to see the city of Philippi, right? Verse 16 and 18, let's go. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer, the team, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, what does it say? Greatly annoyed, turns and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So they're on their way to prayer. Just leave that up there if you would. They're on their way to prayer. They're going to the prayer meeting, a very holy thing, a very good thing, a very wonderful thing. And look what happens to their Kronos plan. This demonized girl who was being exploited by some business people who were making good money on her, she sees Paul and the crew, and she starts yelling, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, I know there's some PR people in the room. I'm not sure you would ask this demonized girl to be like the promoter of your mission. And I just wonder if the people in the city streets are kind of like, okay, woo-hoo. You know, like, who are these guys? Well, you know what she thinks, but who knows what God does, right? He obviously is going to use this situation tremendously, but Paul, I guess what I want to focus on here is that the word's greatly annoyed. Because a kingdom mindset engages holy annoyances. What would happen if every time you were annoyed, which I'm sure none of you get annoyed, it's just Shelley and myself. What would happen if we got really curious about what the Holy Spirit was up to in you as well as in the situation? Versus being judgmental. I'm so grateful that Paul didn't get really judgmental towards her. He got a little annoyed, and I think he was probably mostly annoyed at the devil, not annoyed at the girl. I'm sure he was annoyed at those who were exploiting her as well. And it's like, the way to beat this situation is just to cast the demon out of the girl. She needs freedom. These guys need serious freedom as well. And let's see what God does. So that's what happens. It's amazing. And so when you and I engage our holy annoyances, what would happen if freedom for the captives is on the other side of your holy annoyance? And I just know it does happen that when we get annoyed, troubled, bothered, sometimes we can head down a judgmental path. That I think it's easy to shift from a mindset on the spirit to a mindset on the flesh at the point, at the crossroads of annoyance. Yeah. And so I just want to challenge all of us when we go home, or even on the way home, when you're trying to get home with your Kronos plan. Nothing wrong with that. You should get home. But when you're at the state gas station, or you're fueling up, or when you're at the restaurant, or whatever you're at, and there seems to be an annoyance, rather than going, ugh, go, what are you up to? What are you up to, Lord? Get a little more curious, rather than judgmental. So let's redeem our holy annoyances, huh? With those mindset on the spirit. And then, fourthly, a kingdom mindset sees entrances disguised as obstacles. Let's see if I can unpack this. Let's look at the passage, 19 to 21. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, that was their motive, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." So this obstacle of resistance starts happening, but what if resistance is a way to a divine and strategic placement? What if this, something's brewing here that they don't even know, but I think they know enough to go, "God, you've redirected us to this city. Clearly, you've stopped two or three other directions, and you said here, so we now see Lydia, we now see her household. Now this girl's set free. Let's be curious. God, you're really moving." But now they're going to get beaten. 22, then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And so We know they're doing God's right thing in his right time, but the circumstances in the moment are not exciting. They're not comfortable. It's like, this is harsh. This is persecution. And it seems to me that in my life, many times when I'm facing resistance, I'm usually saying, "God, get me out." Right. Versus, "What are you doing? I'm slightly annoyed by being beaten with rods." No, I mean, you know, this is horrible. You guys, this is like, it's one thing when you're being persecuted verbally, but when you start getting beaten, I've never experienced it. I don't know. I know some of you probably have. There's probably people in the room who have, but I just am so amazed at this story, and I'm so amazed at the ability of Paul and Silas specifically to not say to the guard, the magistrate, and the people there, say, wait, we're actually Roman citizens. Now, they do later, but not in this moment. And you can't tell me that they didn't think it. Wait a minute, they can't do this to us. It's illegal. They think we're just Jewish men, but we're actually Roman citizens, and this is very, very illegal. And so they're severely beaten. And I think the reason they didn't say it, because they had such a mind set on the spirit and such curiosity about what God was continuing to do, that they're like, this is not what we expected. But God, you want to create a beachhead in this city and in this region. You got us here very, very directly by your spirit. And so we're going to stay in that mindset, in that place. And so as they're doing that, they look what happens. It's incredible. God is making a way. And And so don't just keep looking for the easy way out. Ask God to show you. God, what are you doing here? What are you up to? God, we're trusting God beyond our circumstances. And I think it's easy to read a story like this, and there's some people in the room that have, Natasha and Rick, that you guys have been ministering in the Muslim nations and to the Muslim people and in India, and you've seen all kinds of things that we don't even know the stories of yet. But this is maybe not that weird to you to hear these things. But if you live in Canada or live in America, and you know, this is rare that this would happen to us. But I want to say the reason they could get through this is because they had their mind set on the Spirit, and the grace of God was there for them to walk through this because they had a perspective that was eternal. They had a mission perspective. They had a kingdom perspective. Verse 25 to 26, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Does this always blow you away? You're bloodied, you've been beaten. It's been a bad day on the streets, but yet a great day, a God day. You're now in prison, shackled up. And look at this quote from Darlene Check. Probably haven't heard her name in a while. True worship isn't just a song in the light, it's a declaration in the dark. And that's what they're doing here. They're declaring, God, you are good. You are amazing. Right? God, thank you. They're worshiping and praying. They're not just praying, they're worshiping. I mean, you'd expect them to pray, but to be able to worship in that spot, in that moment, you can't do that if your mind is set on the flesh. And they had a lot of reason to have their mind on the flesh in this moment. I just so am grateful they weren't entitled. I'm so grateful that they weren't focused on themselves. I believe they saw that God was creating an entrance, a door. And it looks like an obstacle, but actually he's opening a door to not only the city, but the region. And God was going to use this moment for that. And so they're praying, they're singing, and and I just love that it says the prisoners were listening to them. So this is, I mean, this is the ultimate captive audience, right? But they're singing and they're praising, seeing or knowing what they had been through is cultivating a curiosity in the prisoners, and they're listening to them and going, have got to be going, whoa, who are these guys? What is happening? Who is this God they're singing about? And I said to you this morning, I mentioned Psalm 34, and that magnify the Lord with me. And when you and I magnify the Lord, when we praise the Lord, especially in circumstances that are intense and difficult and harsh, especially in circumstances where our flesh would do exactly the opposite if we were led and had our minds set on the flesh, it magnifies the Lord amazingly. And people can't help but listen and see and notice. Who are these guys? Who is this God? They're joyful. How can this be? And so suddenly, verse 26, there's a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Shaky, shaky. Amazing. A kingdom mindset expects some shaking. But what does that shaking mean? Well, of course, this is this really supernatural event. I mean, it's so supernatural. In all my study of earthquakes, which isn't much, I don't think it's like guaranteed that doors get unlocked and get flung open and everybody's chains fall off. I mean, the chains rattling makes a lot of sense with an earthquake, but just all of a sudden, it's just a supernatural moment. But let me bring this to us. When there's a shaking in our life, when you're a kingdom, your mindset on the Spirit, your kingdom come, your will be done, and the shaking is happening, and we're curious about what's going on, what happens, what could happen in the shaking? Well, I think the shaking helps us get to the unreachable. How else would they have been able to get to these prisoners? Except this. Except to go through this path of this girl being delivered, and then they're beaten, and they get thrown in jail, even though they could have gotten out of it, and they stay, and they go, and boom, here they are. They've got this listening audience, and the jailer is there. And sometimes shaking gives us fresh eyes, and sometimes shaking opens closed doors, and sometimes shaking disturbs our foundations, of which sometimes are not all healthy. But I know this, shaking can lead to transformation. You've seen it in your life. I've seen it in my life. We've seen it in people around us. So what do you think God is wanting to shake in you this week? What has he been shaking? What has he been shaking? Pray with me just for a moment. Lord, I pray right now that, Lord, anything that has been binding us, anything that's been holding us shackled, would you shake it? Would you loose us? Lord, anywhere where we've had our mind set on the flesh, or we've had our mind in, and we felt in bondage to anything that's not from you, we ask that you would shake it and break it off in the name of Jesus. Lord, any lie that we've been believing, would you reveal it to us? And would we repent towards the truth? Shake us, Lord. Number 6, a kingdom mindset energizes a Spirit-led obedience. When we have our minds set on the Spirit, you find that obedience actually is something you look forward to. Because you're like, hey, God has an adventure every day for us. What if FOMO, somebody used the word, or that little phrase this week, FOMO, was it you? Who was it? Was it Ian? As you said that in your message, Ian, I thought, what if FOMO became, instead of fear of missing out, fear of missing in obedience? I was thinking, what if we got to the place like, I don't want to miss, I want to be so in tune with the Spirit that I don't miss an opportunity to obey. Because there's a transformation on the other side of that obedience. Maybe it's in me, maybe it's in someone else, but God, I don't want to miss it. The keeper of the prison, 27 to 28, waking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Just imagine this. But Paul calls out with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Luke's here too. I mean, imagine this moment. I mean, the guard knew. I mean, the assumption would be everybody's out of here. Everybody's gone, right? The earthquake, everything. Doors are flipped open. And he's like just about to kill himself because he knew he'd die anyway. He's taking himself out. And Paul's like, no, stop. We are all here, not just Paul, Silas, Timothy, not just a few of us, like the whole prison's still here. That's another miracle. If you were in prison there, wouldn't you went like, God has delivered us, I'm out. Like, you know, and so the fact that they're all there shows another miracle. They were not focused on the natural. This is so amazing. And of course you'd think, they would have to be pretty clueless to not see that it was amazing, right? But then verse 29 says, then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And boom, look what they say, verse 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into the house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. I mean, you know, like, is this normal Christianity? I'm not thinking we should think it's not. I'm hoping we don't have to get beaten up. Like right now, we don't have that kind of persecution, at least as big a threat here in the Western places, but of course around the world there is. Why don't we really take advantage of the fact that we don't have that threat most of the time? And we have the best news. Our mind's set on the Spirit. And so the Philippian church is birthed. The jailer, his household, Lydia, and more. I'm almost done. There's been so many cool stories happening at home. People coming to Christ in the last 4 months. I think we baptized about 30 people, which is so amazing. And I have a discipleship group, and one of the guys in the group is a former meth addict. He's been clean since November, and he's just like soaking up everything he can get. Like he lost his place, and so he was living in his car, had a full-time job. We did a spontaneous offering for his family, and in just one service, and $3,000 came in, and we were able to, it took a few months, because he was doing the due diligence, but we were able to get them housing, but he's growing leaps and bounds. But it's messy still, you know, it's messy, but it's beautiful. And this is just the normal Christian stuff that should be happening all around us all the time, and I know it is in many of your worlds as well. And I just want to challenge when you and I have that kingdom mindset, our mind is set on the Spirit. Every day we got opportunities, yeah. Right? So would you stand? And these are the summation of the 6 points. Put them on there if you would. Just leave them up there. Embrace Chronos and Kairos time. Extend generous hospitality. Engage holy annoyances. See entrances disguised as obstacles. Expect some shaking, and have an energized, Spirit-led obedience. What's your mindset on tonight, this week? It's always hard to know how to end a week. You're so full. But as I was praying and saying, Lord, how do you want us to end tonight? He reminded me of Romans 10, 15 to 17. It says this from the New Living. It says, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And then down to 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing. That is how hearing the good news, that is hearing the good news about Christ. And so what I'd like us to do as we wrap up is just have a sending moment. I want you to think about what's been, might be something from tonight, but it might be one or two things from the rest of the messages this week, or might have been a conversation that you had at lunch. And the Holy Spirit's like, that's what I want you to think about and chew on and take home. And so, Lord, with our eyes closed and our hands just in a posture of receiving, we just ask you to remind us of those one or two things that you want us to really ruminate on, chew on, think about, get down in our soul, walk out in our actions. Lord, any area where we're, even tonight, we just, feel convicted, Lord. We've had our minds set on something other than you. Would you just confess that to the Lord tonight? Just confess it. Just say, God, I give you this. I've been so distracted with this. You fill it in the blank. Fill in the blank. Just confess it. We'll repent. We'll say, God, I'm going to have my mind set on the Spirit. Help me to do that so that I could be that kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, impactful every day for you. Living and bringing the good news. Here's what I want to do, the last thing. Just can sit in this posture for a minute, but I stand in this posture, but I want you to get with two or three other people, and I want you to send each other back home. Because it said that, Romans 10 said that. How can they proclaim the good news if they're not sent? I don't want us to just go from this place. Let's send each other. But let's do it. I know I could pray a prayer, but I'd like you to just do it in small little groups. Just start grouping up and just pray. Pray for each other for a minute and just commission each other to go back home. If you need to confess to somebody in your group, do it. But let's send each other. I'll give you a few minutes to do that.